Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. On today's show for you, we have the league making a rule change to address the hack of DeAndre craze. I'll explain why they did a bad job and should feel bad. We'll also take a look at some NBA futures odds and pretend like Golden State doesn't even exist. And finally, we'll make a passionate plea for Pablo Prigioni. It's the Locked On Clippers podcast. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast, we are on iTunes now. You can subscribe. It pops up in your daily feed. You don't have to go hunting for it anymore. We're on iTunes. Check us out there. Also, check out all the other great Locked On podcasts as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Check those ones out. We're getting ones for just about every team now. Have the Jazz one from David Locke, who started it, which is a fantastic podcast. Not if you're just a Jazz fan, for the whole league. Fred Katz, our old boy Fred Katz from Clipper Blog, is doing the Thunder podcast, and a bunch of other guys you know that you've read before. Great podcasts across the network, so check them out. And also, if you have questions for me that you want answered on the show, love to hear them. FosterDJ3@gmail.com. Also, if you want to advertise on the show, I will slang your product. FosterDJ3@gmail.com. Okay, let's move on to headlines from elsewhere. It's really just a headline from elsewhere today, and it actually affects the home front quite a bit. On Tuesday, the NBA announced a series of rule changes, the intention of curbing hack of DeAndre. Now, if you're not familiar with the hack of DeAndre, you may remember it by its first name, the Hack of Shaq. Or if you're from Detroit, you may know it as Hack of Drummond. Or if you follow Dwight Howard, you may know it as Hack of Howard. Although, Hack of Dwight? Hack of Howard? Hack of Dwight? I don't know, nobody cares about Dwight Howard. Let's talk about how this pertains to the Clippers, how it pertains to DeAndre Jordan. Here's the change. Now, if you haven't seen this yet, you don't really need to look at it. Because the league half-stepped and completely went soft on something that is so easy to remove. And if you've watched any ESPN broadcast over the last 3 years, Jeff Gundy has mentioned a variety of ways to get rid of this. To get rid of the hack of DeAndre. To get rid of having to watch a giant man, one of the world's best athletes, stand at the free throw line and throw up bricks and slow the game down completely and play something that is not basketball. No one likes this. No one can tell me that they enjoy watching the world's best athletes all stand around and sweat at the free throw line. Nobody likes it. If you do like it, stop listening to this show, because I hate you. I hate your guts. I don't want your listens or your downloads, maybe your ratings. You can give me a 5-star rating. That's fine. But stop listening to the show. Nobody wants this. Nobody wants the hack of DeAndre. Nobody wants to watch him shoot free throws. And it's not just Clippers games. It's Pistons games. It's any free throw shooter that's shooting below 55-60%. Tired of it. Sick of it. The league made a change that they think is going to slow this down. And here's what the change is. The normal rule is in the last 2 minutes of a fourth quarter or overtime, any intentional foul away from the ball results in a free throw and possession of the ball. Now, you probably haven't seen this too much because it rarely ever happens. That's what stops the hack of DeAndre in the last 2 minutes of fourth quarter and overtime. No team wants to give up a free throw and have the ball taken right out of bounds. It stops it completely. So what the league did was, instead of saying that's only the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter and overtime, now it's the first quarter, second quarter, and third quarter. The last 2 minutes, any intentional foul away from the ball will result in a free throw and possession of the ball. Whew. Okay. So what does that mean? It means that now teams won't foul late in quarters. Great. What it doesn't stop is fouling with 5 minutes left in the quarter or 3 minutes left in the quarter. We can still have these long stretches of DeAndre Jordan going to the free throw line 6, 8 times in a row. So what did this really do? Now, the league says, Kiki Vandeweghe says, that the majority of the incidents occur in the last 2 minutes. Okay, that's just going to change now. Teams are going to do it earlier, and I guess you can say, okay, there's less incentive to do it earlier because then the whole team is in the bonus. So if Chris Paul gets touch fouled, he's shooting free throws with 4 minutes left in the game. And that may slow some teams down, but it's not going to stop this. And it's something that was easily stoppable. And instead, the league decided to just kind of nip it in the bud a little bit, a tiny bit. And I think the bigger issue here, at least for me, the bigger issue is that when we have problems like this in the NBA, clearly not good for business, clearly bad entertainment, clearly something the fans don't want and don't like, no matter how many of these bums say they can come and shoot 80%, I shot 8 of 10 in my driveway yesterday, why can't they do it? No matter how many of those guys are out there, nobody wants to watch this. And the NBA had a chance to make a bold move and take this strategy that shouldn't be there in the first place. There was no intention when basketball was created of having this be what it became. This is just so silly to me that it still exists. And the NBA could have made a stand. Adam Silver could have said, hey, you know what? We're an entertainment league first. We're going to get rid of this, and that's it. It's done. Instead, they decide not to. They go the baseball route where they make a small change, and now for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, they can say, oh, we addressed that. We're looking at other things. I'm mad. I don't know if you can tell I'm mad. I don't usually get very mad. I'm upset. I don't know if it's because it's late and I didn't have dessert tonight. There was no dessert in the house. All out of ice cream. Nothing makes me more mad than that. Except for this. Because when I watch a Clippers game at 9:30 p.m., I'm old now, man. I'm old. And staying awake through a third quarter where DeAndre Jordan is shooting 6 free throws in a row is impossible. That's it for headlines from elsewhere. Sorry for the rant. We're going to move on to something fun. Something I thought in Las Vegas. I was at the sports book, checking out the NBA future championship odds. Ooh, are they fun? Do you know in casinos in Las Vegas, they'll actually bump up the odds of the Lakers because so many people want to bet on the Lakers in Las Vegas as opposed to what they are online. So, like, say the Lakers are 150-1 to win the championship online. In Vegas and some of these casinos, they'll be like 75-1. Because it's just a sucker bet. So they need to bring the odds down just in case, for some reason, because so many people are betting on it, they need to bring the odds down to 75-1, because those people are still going to bet on it. They're not thinking, oh, okay, well, I can make $150 or I can make $75. They're just going to bet it no matter what. That's just funny to me. I like that. I don't know why that entertains me so much that there's so many irrational Laker fans out there who think they have a chance of winning a championship this year. But it's really entertaining to me. Actually makes me feel better about the whole DeAndre thing. I'm in a great mood now. All right. Lakers fans, thank you. Timofey Mozgov signing, thanks. It makes this summer so much better. Let's get to these championship pots. Let's break these down. Let me see what you think. Let me see what you guys think about these. Okay, so here we go. We've got these odds from topbet.eu. I've never used this betting site because gambling is illegal, and why would I do that ever? Don't do that. But that's the site that I used, thanks to Google. It looks updated. It says as of July 13th, so I'm going to trust that. That's Europe time, apparently. I don't really know how that works. Oh, it says Eastern time. Okay, sure. Europe time, Eastern time, it's all the same thing when you're on the West Coast. All right, so here we go. These are odds to win the NBA championship. So, no big surprise. Golden State Warriors are obviously the favorite. Favorite to win the NBA championship. Top bet says it's Golden State Warriors. So does everywhere else that would possibly take your money. Golden State minus 150, which means if you want to win $100, you would need to spend $150 to win $100. That's how big of a favorite they are. They're the favorites to win the NBA championship. Coming in behind them, again, no big surprise, Cleveland Cavaliers, the reigning champs, they're getting 3-1 odds. So if you bet $100, you would win $300. I'm not going to explain the rest of those, the way the odds work, because I'm just going to assume you're all degenerates if you're listening at this point. San Antonio Spurs, Tim Duncan retired. They are 10-1. 10-1 odds for the Spurs. Okay. Next in line. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a Clippers fan. Probably. Maybe not. Maybe you're a Lakers fan who stopped listening after I made fun of you and Timofey Mozgov. That's a possibility. But I'm going to assume you're a Clippers fan. And you're probably thinking, all right, Clippers are up next. Warriors, Cavs, Spurs. What are the Clippers' odds? The Clippers aren't the next team. And you're probably racking your brain and thinking, okay, it can't be Oklahoma City. Kevin Durant's gone. It can't be Oklahoma City, right? Why would they have Oklahoma City there? But who else could it be? Toronto? I don't know. I mean, I guess they gave Cleveland a little bit of a series. Didn't really do a whole lot this offseason, but they gave them a good series. Is it Chicago with all the big names now? With Rondo and Wade and Butler? Are they giving Chicago love? No, it's Boston. Boston has the fourth best odds to win the title. 25-1. Weird? Do you think it's weird? I think it's a little weird. I know they got Al Horford there. They did lose Jared Solinger and Evan Turner, which some people would tell you is addition by subtraction, but they were big contributors for them last year. Boston, 25-1. Fourth best odds. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think I don't love it. I'm a big fan of Al Horford. He does space the floor. He'll help. He'll pass. He'll rebound. There's really nothing that he does poorly. I don't think he's the rim protector that could take Boston to the next level defensively. Even though they were incredible defensively last year, top five defense. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that for them. I don't know that their wing rotation is ready for that. They got Jaylen Brown. He's a rookie. We'll see how he plays. He's going to have to fill a pretty big role for them. I just don't know if they should be ahead of the Clippers. A fully healthy Clippers team. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. Got J.J. Redick. I know it's silly. A fully healthy Clippers team, if it could ever actually happen, where everyone's healthy going into the playoffs, who do you think would give Golden State a better run? Boston or the Clippers? I would say the Clippers. Now, I understand why Boston has better odds than them to win the championship. I do. I get it. Because they're in the Eastern Conference, and to play against Golden State, they'd be in the finals. They'd have to make it there, whereas the Clippers would have to get through Golden State, and the Western Conference Finals are earlier to get to the finals. So I get that. I understand that. Any team that's in a conference with that heavy of a favorite should have lower odds than most of the other teams. But Celtics are 25-1. The Clippers are 30-1. Clippers, 30-1. I think that's a little disrespectful. Not a lot disrespectful, but a little disrespectful. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, two of the best players in the NBA. 30-1? Is it that unlikely that they would win a championship? Now, I can see a group saying, dude, they haven't even been out of the second round. Are you serious right now with this? But on paper, the Clippers are clearly a title contender. Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. I mean, the talent is there. It matches up well. They have experience with each other. There's chemistry. There's not new parts to add. This is a solid team. We're bringing back just about everyone who, if they're healthy going into the postseason, which we still haven't really seen, we know they can do some damage. We know they beat the Spurs in a 7-game series 2 years ago when the Spurs were rolling and a lot of people had them winning the title. So we've seen glimpses of what the Clippers are capable of, and 30-1 just feels crazy to me. So if you wanted to bet $100 on the Clippers, get a quick $3,000 if they win the title, that's pretty good. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just be happy with the Clippers winning if you're a Clippers fan. That'll be a reward enough. But I thought those odds were interesting. Okay, let's get to these other teams. Because these other teams, this is where it gets fun. Championship odds aren't fun until you look at the craziness of what some of these teams are. Okay, so after the Clippers, the next best odds are Oklahoma City at 40-1. That's weird. That's weird, and that makes me think, topbet.eu, that you are not updated or on Eastern time. That doesn't seem right to me. 40-1? How? No Kevin Durant? Okay. I'm gonna move past that and just think that that's not updated correctly. The next team, Toronto Raptors, 60-1. They kept most of their core. They lost Bismack Biyombo. But they kept most of their core. They just signed Jared Sullinger, which is sneaky good. People are so confused in my views on Jared Sullinger. They're like, I like Jared Sullinger. Let's get that clear. I don't like Evan Turner. I said that. That's two straight shows now. I've expressed my dislike for Evan Turner. We'll go for the record tomorrow for 3. Chicago Bulls, 60-1. Okay, you got Rondo and Wade and Butler. You got some real talent there. How it fits and the chemistry. Yeah, we'll see. But 60-1, that's not terrible. Are you ready for the craziest one, though? This one is insane. It makes my voice go like this because I don't understand how crazy this is. The 9th best odds of winning an NBA championship, according to the site, the Minnesota Timberwolves. What? 9th best in the NBA? The Minnesota Timberwolves. 75-1 that the Timberwolves win the championship. Am I on acid? Did somebody like slip me something? They were 29-53 last year. 29-53. And now they have the 9th best odds at NBA championship. Okay, yeah, Chris Dunn looked good in summer league. He didn't look that good. Karl Anthony Towns is really talented. I get it. We're going to do the thing where, he's not quite as awesome as everyone made him out to be. Because that's what we do with every awesome rookie ever. It happened with Blake Griffin. It happened with Anthony Davis. It's going to happen with Karl Anthony Towns. Ninth best, 75-1, the Timberwolves, 29-53. Yeah, man, they might sneak in as an 8 seed, 7 seed, maybe even a 6 seed. Tom Thibodeau's there, I get it, he's a good coach. Andrew Wiggins, maybe he takes the leap. Ricky Rubio, he might finish better than 30% of his layups for once in his life. Cool, I get it. I get why people like them. I don't think anyone reasonable will tell you that they have the ninth best chance of winning an NBA championship. You know what? I misread this. Now you're going to laugh at me because I misread this. I'm not even going to go back and edit it. Normally I would, and I would just be like, okay, I made a mistake. We'll just edit it. That's cool. It's a podcast. It's not live. I can make myself sound way smarter than I am. I never make any mistakes. It's great. I say everybody's name right on the first try. Nope, I'm leaving it because the team that's ahead of the Timberwolves, that's actually ninth, and the Timberwolves are 10th, is even more hilarious than the Timberwolves. The New York Knicks, 60-1. Wow. The New York Knicks, 60-1. Derrick Rose is going to lead them to a title? Okay, good luck with that. Good luck with that. I still think the Timberwolves at 75-1 is even crazier than the Knicks at 61. They're both absolutely insane bananas, though. Let's make that clear. And then you got the rest of the teams. Everyone else is kind of in the middle here. Indiana 80-1, Memphis 80-1, Atlanta, Miami, Portland 100-1. Utah Jazz, 125-1. That's an interesting one to me. Rudy Gobert stays healthy. They got Boris Diaw there now. Trey Lyles is going to improve. Exum's supposed to come back. They just need some better. They got George Hill there now. Point guard, solidify that. 11-time All-Star, Joe Johnson. He's there now. Okay, there's some pieces there, right? 125-1. Would you rather bet on the Knicks at 60-1 or the Jazz at 125-1? These are the things you have to think about. Okay, so moving on. New Orleans Pelicans, 150-1. Yeah, right. Bucks, 150-1. I dig it. Pistons, 125-1. I like that. It's pretty similar to me liking the Jazz at 125-1. I like both of those. The Lakers, 250-1 on this site. I'm telling you, though, don't try and go and make that bet in Vegas. you're not going to get those odds. And then the one that I really like, and a team that I think a lot of people are sleeping on, the Houston Rockets, 150-1. Our boy Eric Gordon. Dap it up, Eric Gordon. I definitely just did the Darius Miles, Corey Maggette, Quinn Richardson, Lamar Odom, head tap. As I said, Eric Gordon's name. Because it's our boy Eric Gordon, man. Come on. Eric Gordon's there. Ryan Anderson is there. Mike D'Antoni is there. Is that team going to play any defense? No. Are they going to score like 120 a night? Probably. They're going to be fun. They're going to get up and down. They're going to run in a shootout in a 7-game series. If they can just get a tiny bit of defense, like if Patrick Beverley and Clint Capella can shut guys down and they can protect the rim and just kind of hide those other guys at least for a little bit. No, I know. They're not going to win a championship. But they're at least interesting. And that should move their odds up in my mind when you're interesting. When you're boring, when you're like the Kings, you're 250-1, whatever. We're done with you. And then the lowest ones, which you guys got to know, and we'll wrap this up, because you're probably tired of me reading numbers at you. The Suns are 1,000-1, and the Nets are 1,000-1. Hey, man, you want to go put $5 down for a friend and turn him into a season-long Phoenix Suns fan? Don't do that to your friends. That's really upsetting. All right, that's it. NBA championship odds, 30-1, Clippers. Not bad. A little disrespectful. Not too disrespectful, though. Let's wrap this thing up. Long show today. Who knew I could talk at myself for so long? I didn't know. We are going to have guests soon, I promise. You guys stick with me. I'm going to be talking to actual human beings soon. I'm on somebody else's computer and the Skype. My Skype and the Skype contacts. It's just so much work. But guests are coming soon, I promise. As long as my friends still like me. Here we go. Pablo Prigioni. Let's talk about that really quick. Still hasn't been signed. Still no news on that front. Dan Wojcicki, 3 or 4 days ago, said that he thinks the Clippers are still going to look for a veteran point guard. That player will have to be on the minimum. I think it makes sense for that player to be Prigioni, especially if you're going with keep the band together, keep the chemistry together, let's just bring everybody back plan, which is pretty clear the Clippers were going for. I think Prigioni can play. He is old, man. He is an old dude. I think he's turning, what is it now? We gotta look this up. Please hold. Do, 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 do. Typing in Pablo Prigioni's name and looking on Wikipedia. He was born in 1977. That makes him 39 years old. Okay, he's 39 years old. That's old. But he was a really good defender last year. Got steals, was pesky, bugging people, taking charges, doing all that stuff, playing passing lanes. Really good defender. I'd be perfectly fine with bringing him back. I think the plan is probably to kind of give Austin the reins. And maybe that's what the holdup is that Pablo wants to play somewhere where he's still going to be guaranteed minutes. I don't know if that is realistic for him at this age. But I would love to have Pablo Prigioni back. The way that he played in the pick and roll last year with Cole Aldrich was probably some of my favorite Clipper basketball in the last like 5 or 6 years. And that sounds weird, but everything else has been so predictable lately. Like, we have a pretty good idea of what Chris Paul is going to do. We know what Blake Griffin's going to do. We've kind of been able to see consistency everywhere else. We had no idea, really, what was going to happen with Prigioni and Cole Aldrich. And they both balled out, and it was so fun watching them together, him just dropping dimes to him. And, like, this weird chemistry that they had was so fun. Aldrich is in Minnesota, the future NBA champion, Minnesota Timberwolves. But Prigioni's still out there. I say, if you're going to keep everybody together, keep Pablo as well. Unless you want to go get Bryce Cotton, and then I'm fine. But if the Clippers are looking for a veteran, specifically a veteran, not someone to challenge Young who's going to challenge Austin Rivers, but a veteran who understands his role, who will defend, who can shoot a little bit even though he never shoots, who can run a team, give me Pablo, man. Give me Pablo. Pablo, Pablo, Pablo. Gotta have him. All right, normally we do winners and losers. The show has gone so long. You're the winner for the show going long. I'm the loser for making the show long. I don't know. I'll let you guys decide. Remember, if you have questions for the show, fosterdj3@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the show. Make sure you subscribe and like on all the stuff. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. Have a great day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.